likely first in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6. My Bible is on page 1394. Let's read partway through verse 2. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now the day of salvation. Book of Job, chapter 14, on page 662. Job, chapter 14, verse 1. Man, born of woman, is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. Yet dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean man out of the unclean? Not one. If his days are determined, if the number of his months is with thee, and thou hast appointed his bounds, which he must not pass. Look at the Psalms. Psalm 118. 118. Page 769. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected hath become the head of the corner. This is of Jehovah. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day that Jehovah hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. O save, Jehovah, I beseech thee. And finally, first Epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. First Thessalonians, chapter 5, I'll just read from verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that you should be written to, for you know perfectly well yourselves that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief by night. When they may say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travel upon her that is a child. And they shall in no wise escape. Be evident the scriptures that I have made read make reference to day or days. Subject has come before me for this gospel preaching. I think it's a question that God would ask us tonight. How are you spending your days? Not your months, not your years, not your plans for the future, but your days. Your day. Each day on earth, whether you accept it or not, is a gift from God. Every morning you wake up to a new day, a new dawn, a gift from God. And God would challenge us each and every day. What are you going to do this day? You know, man was created. You and I were created for the pleasure of God. The pleasure of God. God looks and is entitled to look for a response from you and me. It says that in the scripture. That everything was made by him and for him. Man is different to every other creature. And that you and I, as it says of in the beginning, in Genesis, everything else was created. But when it comes to man, whom he formed from the dust of the earth, God breathed into him and he became a living soul. That is, that we are above the natural world, above the creation that we see around about us, because God looks for a response from you and I. So, God would ask us each day, is there going to be a response this day from your life to me? I can tell you, dear friend, that each one of us, marked by sin, we've all done things that have offended God. I don't know what you've done in your life, but I can tell you that from Scripture. The Word of God, the living and abiding Word of God, that we've all fallen short of God's standard. You say, well, what is that standard? Well, there was a man who lived 2,000 years ago, who we read of in this book, the Bible, and his name is Jesus. And he perfectly showed us God's standard, and he is God's standard. Who of us measures up to Jesus? Even if you go out there in the streets tonight, they might say he was a good man. He lived a good life. But what did God say about Jesus? This is my beloved Son. Earlier, his first is directly to Jesus himself. Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I have found my delight. That cannot be said of any other man, woman and child that has ever walked this earth and will ever be born. The psalmist speaks of being born in sin and shapen in iniquity. All fallen short of the standard that God looks for. You say, well, is there any hope? Is there a way back? You've told me that God looks for a response. God cannot have a response from sinful man. No. God desires to bless you, desires to bring you into relationship with himself, but as a sinner, that is not possible. Separates us. There's a fundamental difference between a holy and righteous God and we who are sinners. A distance, dear friend, that thank God tonight is not fixed. A distance that can be done away with because of the precious finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. That you can have a full relationship with a holy, righteous, sin-hating God, the one who loves you and one who desires to give you all the blessings he has in mind for you. For me, they are too great to enumerate. So I begin with a day of salvation. And it's now. It's not tomorrow. It's not even in an hour's time. Not even in 5 minutes. It's now. There's nobody on earth can promise you the future. None of us know. Ecclesiastes speaks of a time to be born and a time to die. Fixed before you were born. Fixed before. We'll come on to that in Job. Now is the day of salvation. I know we've all heard the story probably many times. But there was a preacher in Chicago. He said at the end of his preaching one week, I'll see you all again here next week. That was the week of the great Chicago fire. And there was many who did not make it back to hear the gospel. That preacher never said those words again. We cannot trifle with time. We cannot trifle with God. We cannot promise any time. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Why would you put it off? Why would you put it off coming to know such a loving God? To leave your old life behind. A life of sin. A life of misery. A life without hope, without peace, to come into relationship with a God who will give you all of these things in an instant. Even in the Bible, we have an instance when Paul preached in Athens, "Ah, we'll hear thee again concerning these things. Put it off for another day." There's no record that Paul was ever back in Athens. I'm sure there may have been preachings there since. But do not trifle with God's grace, dear friends. Tonight, he wants to bless you. There's a hymn that says, "It may be no tomorrow may dawn on you or me." How many are plunged from time into eternity at a moment's notice? Just going about their daily business, whether it be crossing the street, driving a car, going down to the beach for the day, how many find themselves on the cusp of eternity? God's offering the glad tidings is free and it's available now. I read in Job the frailty of man's life. Not man as in, it's man as in the world, all of us, is all few days and full of trouble. What a solemn assessment of our lives. Few days, not a few years, a few days. It cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. In other scriptures it refers to the flower of the grass, which is barely seen. Fleeth as a shadow. The fleeting time of your life here on earth, dear friend. What is it to eternity? For there is an eternity. There is life after death. Make no mistake about it. Again, the scripture says that it is appointed to man once to die. If you stop there, you might think you were okay. But after death, the judgment. Does death hold fear for you, dear friend? Does it? We've been faced with it this week and the realities of it. Does it hold fear for you? It need not. It need not hold fear for you. God tonight wants to set you free from the bondage of sin and of death. To bring you into full liberty. Into relationship with God. Can there be anything more marvelous than that? To know Jesus as your Saviour. To know one who will never let you down. Oh, there's many who may let us down in this world, intentionally or otherwise. We may feel that the circumstances of life we find ourselves in as a result are as a result of someone else. That may or may not be the case. But dear friend, you're here tonight to hear the gospel of God's grace. And you are here because God brought you here. You think that you're ignored? Do you think that there's nobody cares about you? Do you think that there's nobody listens to you? Oh, there's many in the world think like that tonight. I would point you to the Saviour. Point you to a God who loves you. A God who knows all about you. Yet dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one. Yes, dear friend, you may be frail. You may feel your insignificance, but God delights to open his eye in mercy upon you tonight. To say, "Yes, I know you're a sinner. I know how far you've got away from me. I know it. Everything's written down in this book that I've got here. But dear friend, I love you. And because of the work of Jesus on the cross and his precious shed blood, God can bless you. God can say that your sins are forgiven. That the distance, that all that stood out between you and the holy and righteous God can be done away with. Because there was a one who came. Job questions, who can bring a clean man out of the unclean? Who can do it? But a friend, we're all unclean in the sight of God. But because of the work of Jesus, you can be washed as white as snow. You can be made clean. Justified as if you'd never sinned. Your past completely and utterly dealt with. So much so that nobody can bring up, no power on earth, no power above can bring up that against you again. If his days are determined, if the number of his months is appointed is with thee, and thou hast appointed his bounds, which he must not pass. This is God's hand upon every single person's life. There is nothing happens by chance. If his days are determined, time to be born and a time to die, your life is in God's hand. God speaks to Belshazzar, doesn't he? The God in whose hand your breath is. That's not just a day given by God in blessing. That's every breath we take. Every breath we breathe. We do it without thinking. And yet, it is a gift from God. So, what do you use that breath for? Do you use that breath for God? Or do you use that breath to rail against God? To take his name upon your lips in vain? To blame him for all that's going wrong in the world? Without seeing that the root cause of everything is sin. And God has provided the remedy. Brings us back to the day of salvation, really, and the stone which the builders rejected. Well, that is Jesus, dear friend. The stone which the builder rejected. Jesus was here on earth. We spoke a little of it this afternoon. There was one who came from God. When the fullness of the time, there was a day appointed before time began, that a Saviour would be born. Think of it. Came in as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. Grew up as a boy. Grew into manhood. Then walked upon this earth for 3.5 years. Think of him being studied by man. Without speaking glibly, Jesus was really, his nature was alien to all in the world around about him. Was not from this world. The perfection of his manhood. Everything he did, everything he said, every thought he thought was completely and utterly perfect. And it had to be. He was looked and tried at every corner. But he didn't fit in to what man was building. And he still doesn't, dear friend. But don't look at Jesus and think he's not going to fit into my life. Be on very shaky ground. Jesus has come He went to the cross. He was rejected completely and utterly. They nailed him to a cross. They lifted him up to die. I really would say, on that day of days. What an awful day in this world's history in one sense. When the Saviour of the world, when the one who was so perfect, was completely and utterly rejected. Chose rather a murderer. But on the other hand, what a day. What a day. For from that day forward, there was to be hope for everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus tonight, to lay hold of the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's cross almost 2,000 years ago. Did he go there for you? What does God require from you? To put your faith and trust in Jesus. You say, is that it? Repentance towards God. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no great work to be done. There's no penance to be paid. Having nothing to pay, he freely forgave them both. We cannot pay. The debt we owe is too great. You need not pay it, because Jesus has paid the price. He alone knows. With God, the cost it was to secure your salvation. He alone has paid that price. 3 hours of darkness. When the sword of God's judgment was borne by Jesus. Judgment for what? Judgment for the sins that you and I have committed. The things that we have done wrong. Against a holy God. He is not facing us for the consequences of those right now. His desire is to bless. Jesus has borne the wrath of God. If for your sins, if you put your faith and trust in him. This is the day that Jehovah has made. We will rejoice and be glad. What a day it is to rejoice. The day of salvation. It is a day to be rejoiced. If you come and put your faith and trust in Jesus. Oh, save Jehovah. It is only he who can save. Save to the uttermost. There's nothing else. There's no one else. There is no other salvation. There is no other rock. There is no other foundation. There is no other hope apart from Jesus. It is a world of choice out there. It is not in God's world, dear friend. You either accept Jesus or you reject him. Rejection of Jesus is a solemn matter. Think of the cost that has been to God to give such a gift. Think of what God has offered for your salvation. That we who were at a distance from God, that we who are a mere creation, that we who have sinned and willfully gone the opposite way to what God has intended, that God should provide such a Saviour for me is joy to my heart. Is it joy to yours? Should be. There is a day coming. We sang about a hymn, when careless souls will quake with fear. I needed a word of warning. I'm not going to finish there. It's hardly the glad tidings, but there is a warning. The day of the Lord comes as a thief. There is a day coming. Salvation's day does not and will not endure forever. Tonight, the door of mercy stands wide open. There is a day coming when that door will be shut. It may be tonight. It may be this, the last gospel preaching from this desk. None of us knows. It may be the last gospel preaching any of us hears. For those who die, the outcome is the same. If you die in your sins, there is no hope. But once that door of mercy closes, it will not be reopened. And if those who have heard the glad tidings will realise that their opportunity has been lost. But dear friend, tonight, today, right now, there is an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Saviour. There's an opportunity to come to God in repentance, to come to know His full blessing, full and free forgiveness, and to live in light of another day. And that is the day of God. That is eternity with Jesus. What a glorious hope and prospect the Christian, the believer in Jesus has. Is it your hope? Are you living in the hope of seeing Jesus? Is it a daily matter with us? It should be. I challenge my own heart. I was challenged on Wednesday speaking to one of those who was there. And our life was full of the Lord Jesus. You know, any day could be our last day. The truth is, we're believer in Jesus is waiting for Him to come. Paul the Apostle expected that day at any time. 2,000 years ago. Well, that is the hope of the Christian. That is the hope, I hope of many in this room, to be with Jesus forever in the day of God. May all of us just be conscious of living our days, each day we are given, for the glory of God. May it be so for His name's sake. Amen.